You are listening to Healing Arts with Dr. Shelley Kerr. Visit me online at www.pastlifelady.com. Connect with me on YouTube at Past Life Lady or on my Facebook fan page at Past Life Lady. The Healing Arts program is not intended as a substitute for consultation with a licensed medical or mental health professional. The listener should regularly consult a physician or mental health professional in matters relating to his or her health, and particularly with respect to any symptoms that may require diagnosis or medical attention. This program provides content related to educational, medical, and psychological topics. As such, listening to the program implies your acceptance of this disclaimer. Guess what? I've got a new book coming out. It's called The Goddess Discovered, Exploring the Divine Feminine Around the World. And it is coming out on December 8th from Llewellyn Worldwide. This book has over 500 deities in it. Part one of the book will take you into the ancient world, where you will learn about ancient religions that you may have practiced during your past lives. And you'll explore goddesses from the ancient Celts, the Norse, the Egyptians, the Greeks and Romans, and more. And then in part two, we will explore living religions, current modern religions, and the deities worshipped by people during our own modern times. In part three, you'll have a chance to take some past life regressions and even genealogical regressions to connect with the places where your ancestors may have worshipped these deities in the past. Pre-order The Goddess Discovered and you'll receive a free gift, a guided journey from me through my Healing Arts platform. I hope that this one will be a book that you will have on your shelf for years to come. And I cannot thank you enough for your support of this book. I'll have lots of events coming up. But meanwhile, you can pre-order The Goddess Discovered. And I thank you so much for your support. Namaste. Welcome to Healing Arts. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. Hey there, friends. I hope you're having a great week. So I'm super excited for you to hear this interview that I did with my friend Chris Franken many, many months ago. She tells a wonderful story, and she's going to have some of that in the foreword that she contributed to my forthcoming book called The Goddess Discovered. So I think Chris is amazing. I really love her book, and I know that you're going to love what she has to say. So let's check it out. Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of Healing Arts. So I'm so excited today. I have Chris Franken on the show, and she's got an amazing new book called Wild-Hearted Purpose. This is amazing. I want to share her bio with you briefly. Chris Franken is a way shower and facilitator of healing and empowering gatherings. She's the author of The Call of Intuition and Wild-Hearted Purpose. She's the creator of 7 sets of oracle cards. She's a former beauty and health editor for Real Living magazine. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology and sociology. She's multi-published lots and lots of magazine articles, an amazing book, a wonderful website. You can visit her online at chrisfranken.com. That's K-R-I-S, Franken, F-R-A-N-K-E-N.com. And we'll have the links below. Chris, what a joy to see you. Welcome to Healing Arts.
Hi, Shelley. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I love your book. It's amazing. You know, sometimes I like to take a really amazing book like this and you have so much rich material here. I can open it up to different pages on different days after I read the whole thing. And there's just a message there, you know, at any given time, I think, in our lives for different things that people are going on. So it's a really amazing book.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's the most beautiful feedback. It is amazing when a book, I never had the intention of it turning into an oracle like that, where you can just pull it open and get a message. But I love it because they take on their own lives, books. And both of my books have had that impact. I really appreciate that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. So tell us about how you got on your path of healing. I know you've moved around a bit. So tell us about where you're from, where you've lived, and how you recognized your own free-spirited, wild-hearted nature.
Gorgeous. So I was born in Toronto, Canada, and thanks to my dad's work, we got to move around quite a bit. So when I was about two, we moved to Sydney, Australia, and then Melbourne, Australia, and then Detroit, Michigan. And then when I was about 10, we settled back in Sydney for good. I and my husband and my kids moved up to Byron Bay 4 years ago. To be honest, I've always been quite stubbornly free and wild. I definitely have a rebel heart, which I've noticed in past lifetimes. I've noticed in my ancestors. I don't think I'm some one off here, but I never like rebelled so hard against my parents, but I had a very fierce will. And I always knew, even without knowing this in words, I always knew that I needed to follow my heart. I always went with what felt good. And to a lot of people, I mean, that can be quite, to the people around me, I mean, that could have felt like I was being really stubborn, really determined. And I was. I don't think stubborn is a bad thing. So I've always really been in tune with my heart. I went to university in Sydney to study music. It didn't feel right. My body was very tense all the time. I wanted to learn to sing and none of that was happening. I could already play the piano beautifully and I wanted to bring all of that together. I thought that was my dream career. Next thing, I'm studying psychology going, what? This is the coolest. So I ended up with a double degree in psychology and sociology and then started working in hospitality, which was another passion of mine. And I really enjoyed that. I didn't feel like I needed to put into practice my degree straight away, but over the years it came in handy. I started working as a personal assistant to a publisher in the largest publishing house of magazines in Australia. And that's where I really got to broaden my web of, okay, I love writing. I've always loved writing, always. I've always known I was going to be a professional writer. I'm not sure why I didn't collect a degree in journalism on the way, but apparently I didn't need to. My degree in psychology was enough to be recognized and to be given that chance to write.
It's amazing. Yeah, I think you bring this up in the book so well too, that a lot of times I think the thing we're supposed to be doing is kind of right in our face, and yet we're not even recognizing it within ourselves. And you came to this epiphany, wait a minute, I think it's writing. What's up? I mean, why do we do this, Chris? What's going on with people? Can we just not see ourselves, or is it just part of the unfoldment, or what do you think?
I think both, definitely. I think a lot of people can't see themselves and it takes the reflection of another, which is why career coaches can be so valuable, which is why really good, honest friends can be so valuable, which is why just seeing, you know, which is why jealousy can be so valuable, because we can see in another what it is maybe that we want to feel, maybe the path that we want to try out. I think a lot of people also are the subject of some really deep conditioning, not just in this lifetime, but all through our ancestors' lifetimes. And a lot of the time it's the conditioning that keeps us from tuning into our hearts, because we're so much in our heads. And if we can just tick off the list of shoulds that we're given as children, as teenagers, as young adults, you know, you really should buy a car. You really should own at least one house. You really should live in this area. You really should have, you know, a couple of kids. And once we've ticked all of that off, that's when we start to feel lost. That's why we have midlife crises, or that's why menopause can be so difficult, is because we reach a point where we think, hang on a second, Where was my connection to my heart? Where were the things that I truly, deeply, madly loved? And so I think at any age, we can really come back into the folds, the love of our heart, and check in there and see, well, what is it now? What is it I'm yearning for now? It doesn't mean you have to quit the job. It doesn't mean you have to sell your car or sell your house. It just means checking in the now to see, what is it that's so valuable to me right now that it's just so calling me? And it could be blindingly obvious. It could be right in front of you, or it could actually be something that you've never done before, and it might feel like jumping off of a cliff into an unknown net. But it's so that path is different for everyone. But I think really the more we just tune back in here into our heart space, the more that we find that our body's always giving us that wisdom and showing us what it is that really lights us up.
Absolutely. One of the things you brought up that I've told my clients too is this idea that why don't we spend some time thinking about what you wanted to do when you were a kid? Because children, when we're children, we just play and we play and make believe the things that we want to become. And getting back to that is very, very valuable.
The childhood way of play and how we uniquely did that is so valuable, and it can give us so much insight. And quite often the logical mind says, well, I'm in my 30s or my 40s or my 20s. Why would I relate to what I did when I was five? But somewhere along the way, quite often we're told you can't do that because whatever. And we get cut off from our creative flow. So if it was doodling or drawing or you know, revamping bikes or making clay huts, or it doesn't actually matter. But sometimes I think it's really valuable to see, oh, I stopped doing that because. And then we can go back and we can look that inner child at that point in our lives in the eye and say, hey, I'm sorry you got stopped in your creativity. You were amazing. What is it that you'd like to see me do now? Or what is it that you miss about your creative expression now? There's really something so magical about touching back into the creative inner child to see, what were they yearning for? What were they doing? And the logical mind has so many reasons why that doesn't even make sense. But when we follow that path really gently and with the help of a trained psychologist or a coach or a mentor, if that's what we need, if it feels really difficult to tap back into that part of our childhood, it's really worth it.
It really is. And another amazing, valuable thing you mentioned in the book is values, getting in, and then why we need to get in touch with those, not just 30 years ago, but reviewing those potentially annually to get in touch with, like, what do we actually value? What's making sense? So can you speak to that? Because that is totally right on.
Yeah, I love that, getting in touch with the values every year. The last 3 years has seen so much change in our personal lives, in our global lives, in humanity, in our families, in our communities, in the way we pretty much do anything and everything. And so if you're not connected to your evolving values, then you can feel quite lost. But as soon as you get in touch with, okay, this is what I value the most, then everything else starts to fall away. And that's really empowering, because if you don't know your values, quite often you find yourself with these like energy being leaked everywhere because, oh, that's really cool. And oh, what's happening over there? And oh, my curiosity is there. And it doesn't mean it's fun. Sometimes people get our attention through fear and coercion. But when you really come back to your values, if you wrote down 5 or 10 values and you really got in touch with how that feels in your body and why they are important to you, then you start to notice them in your life. Then you start to notice, oh, that's why I like to have a clean house, is because it makes me feel this. Well, that's why I like to see my friends at least once a week, because that helps me connect into this. We find that our values are driving our lives anyway, but to be really conscious of them is to let everything else fall away. That then brings all our energy back to focus on what really matters. And that's when life can really truly erupt with goodness and boldness and creativity and love and passion and everything it is that's already within us. But we brought our energy back really consciously and lovingly and decisively. And that's so empowering.
Absolutely. And you talk about the idea of our values then evolving into like, what is the ideal state of things that we're striving for here? And that that is also something in flux as well.
Yeah, definitely. There is, because there's always a cyclical movement to our lives, we might find that we touch on an inner winter. And in that inner winter, our values really shift and we need to focus on just three really profound touchstones in our lives. And then when we come back into an inner summer, but everything feels alive and creative and abundant, then our values will shift with that as well. So it's not only is it ongoing, but you're right, it's pointing to where we're headed. And as much as I don't like to create maps for the future so that I know exactly what I'm doing, I know some people really do. And I really find that when you, if you do like to set goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals, or just really map out and plan the next year or two, that can be valuable. Knowing your values is going to give you those touch points along the way.
Yeah, it's so interesting when you're talking about the planners, the super planners, and this idea, you know, we all had a map maybe for 2020, for example, but we had to throw them in the trash after crumpling them up. So that's the thing that I think is really valuable about, you have so many amazing exercises in this book to help people when your map did get thrown away and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Get back in focus with some things and just move on from there with this flexibility and the openness to embrace the changes.
That was the gift for me of 2020, was that the maps were burnt for us. Like whatever we had planned for 2020 was gone. I know for a lot of people that was traumatic. I'm not trying to be frivolous about it. For me, 2020 was a lot easier than last year. So, you know, like there's a last year being 2022, which is when we moved into the rainforest and the whole Byron Bay area was flooded. And it was a really traumatic and also beautiful time to be so connected to nature. But I know in 2020, for many of us, we had our planners out. We had written down everything we wanted to achieve in that year, where we were going to travel, and then it all got taken from us. And I know for a lot of people that definitely didn't feel like a gift, but I remember at the time thinking, wow, like there's something really big shifting on a global scale. I was terrified. I was excited. I was everything.
Yes.
All at once. And I think that's what happens when the maps get taken from us. We feel like it's the rug being pulled out from under our feet, but what a gift. Our feet get to land on the earth and we get to feel her pulse. And through that, we get to remember our wild pulse, our body that is so connected to Mother Earth. So when the rug gets pulled, we end up on our feet, maybe on our knees, maybe on our hands and knees. Maybe we're in a state of absolute prayer and begging, or maybe we're in a state of, oh, thank God, I don't have to do any of the things. I can create my own future. I can create my own now. And I think for a lot of us, it did bring us back to Mother Earth. It did for me and it did for a lot of my friends. Yeah.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's so interesting collectively to have such an amazing global event, because even when they had the flu 100 years ago, you didn't have people flying all over the world and being as connected as we are now. I mean, there's never been a moment like this ever in history that forces you to sit still. And then, like you said, some people said, wow, I love what I do. And other people said, what am I doing? I don't have to do this anymore. Thank you, Lord. And then start moving in a different direction. It's been quite a stir. And even though it was very traumatic for people, which I also, I'm with you. I felt there was a lot of benefits for myself there. And yet, you know, obviously for other people, it was incredibly difficult. I just remember thinking, thank God I've been through some really hard times when I was younger, because depending on the age group and things, I think people really had a hard time. But now that we're kind of moving past that, it seems you see so many people reinventing themselves. And your book just has so many wonderful thought-provoking exercises and ideas for people who are in that state of flux, that you're really giving them a lot of nourishment here with your exercises and guidance.
Thank you. Yeah. didn't feel, I didn't anticipate how good the timing would be when the book came out. But I wrote it because I knew what was going on for clients and friends. And I knew what was in my heart that needed to be shared in the form of a book. And then in the last couple of months, people have been saying just, wow, the timing of that kind of message from anyone, that kind of, you know, community-minded, wild-hearted, let's get back in touch with nature. I mean, it really doesn't matter if you live in the city or in a rural area. You can live anywhere and get back in touch with your wild nature and really connect to Mother Nature in a whole different way, because she's changing too. She's up-leveling. She's multidimensional. She's as more vibrant than she's ever been in history. And she's taking us along with her for the ride. So it's not this egoic, like, wow, humanity's amazing. Look what we're evolving to, or look what we have the potential to evolve to. This is Mother Earth saying, well, you guys are just here, so you might as well up level too.
Absolutely. We are all connected. Let's all do it together. Part of your work is doing sacred ceremony and participating in community and things like that. Tell us about some of your ceremonies that you create for people that are on your website, which we're going to have the link below, by the way, but really interesting. Yeah.
The one I do the most is cacao ceremonies. I've been really connected to Mama Cacao for a while. Actually, you know what happened? Okay, here's the gift of 2020. My local cafe closed down and I decided I was going to make the very best hot chocolate that I had ever drunk. And I was going to devote myself. And what happened was this strange and unpredictable evolution of me connecting to Mother Cacao. See, first I was using organic cocoa and I was mixing it with some vanilla and cinnamon and sugar. And then it just kept evolving. It felt like it was so in tune with the energy. Next thing I know, I'm buying like this most beautiful, ethical, ceremonial cacao paste, and I'm learning how to shave it, and I'm learning what to mix it with that feels good in my body, and I'm learning how to make it into a state of the most open-hearted, the most beautiful, and the most tender and powerful and grounded process. There's so many words that I could use to explain how I feel when I connect with Mama Cacao. So I had done a few local cacao ceremonies here in Byron Bay. And then I decided a year ago, I was going to host a retreat. And a part of the retreat was a cacao ceremony. It was my first cacao ceremony. And it was amazing. What I love to do, whether with cacao or on Insight Timer or with friends or in circles, I love to create journeys, meditative, subconscious, empowering, insightful journeys. I like to take people to different galaxies, to different parts of their heart. I like to take people to meet with ancestors and spirit animals and to meet with star beings to receive messages from them, to receive activations. So when I brought together cacao, also known as my lifelong obsession with chocolate, with these words, with these journeys, and created a ceremony around it. And I just started out with some friends, and now it's growing into more and more circles. And I'm actually going to be creating meditations focused on cacao for Insight Timer, so that anyone can do it for free anywhere in the world whenever they have a cup of their favorite cacao in front of them. And I'm also going to create other things for Insight Timer. But I really love connecting people to the wisdom of their heart through cacao. She's so powerful and so delicious. And so that's been really wild. Personally, I do a lot of other ceremonies here on the land, connecting with the seasons, connecting with the trees, ceremonies every day with the indigenous spirits, and ceremonies with my children, solstices, equinoxes, those sorts of things. I'm sure one day that'll become something in retreats and something else that I share, maybe even a book one day, because I am very much in love with what ceremony does for us and what it connects us to.
Absolutely. You mentioned the ancestors. And I had written a book that came out a few years ago on ancestors called Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life. And the idea that real scientists at the United States Center for Disease Control and other reputable organizations through epigenetics are now understanding that we really are actually physically embodying the behaviors of our ancestors. We're bringing through a lot of their personality traits as well. And there's a whole generation here now of people who really feel awakened to want to connect with their ancestors and also heal the trauma from ancestral lineage and things like that. And so you mentioned the ancestors in the book. And, you know, when I think about like what is driving the modern seeker now into doing more rituals, doing more ceremony, I feel like part of that is an ancestral call that's coming from this stirring of the soul that's got to be brought through from our ancestors. Of course, I also do past lives. So I would have said maybe 10 years ago that a lot of this stuff could be past life influences. And of course, it could be both. But now I'm really into this idea that I think a lot of it could be our ancestors. They're waking us up to what you've described so well in your book about this connection to the stars and the trees and the cacao and all the beautiful things that Mother Earth is giving us right now. So I just wanted to get your feeling on this because after reading this fabulousness, I know you and I are on the same page about many, many things.
That's beautiful. Thank you for the work that you do in bringing through the wisdom or helping people to bring through the wisdom of their ancestors. I really do feel that it's vital. I feel like it's really important. It also, there's a wealth of information within our bodies that is directly from our ancestors. It's not an accident. It's not just genetics. It's an intentional flow. A lot of people now are also working out that they have a particular indigenous lineage somewhere in the world. And you can, thanks to this gorgeous internet, you can tap into that. You connect with people on Instagram who are still living that lineage, living that culture, which is, you know, which they're more and more vibrant. They have the opportunity now to really reclaim their voice again. Our Indigenous brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles and the elders around the world, they have so much more space now and respect. And also because of the changes of planet Earth and because of this new age that we're living in, we need their direction. We need their guidance. So it's definitely coming up. But you're right, it is. It's coming up within us individually as well. And if I look back at my, so I'm connected to the Cree Indigenous people of, I think, Manitoba, Northern Manitoba in Canada. And so when I think back to them and when I connect with them in ceremony, when I connect with them in meditation, I feel them all looking at me, like really serious faces just looking at me, like, we knew you were coming, you know, we knew you were coming. We knew this generation was coming. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. There's this generation that has come to bridge us from one age to the next. And we are the ones who are connected to our own Indigenous heritage, to our brothers and sisters, whatever their skin color, wherever their family comes from. A lot of people are disconnected from that in that they don't speak to their parents or they don't have their parents alive and they've lost touch with that. But it's still in us and we can access that and we can call on our ancestors, even if we can't call them by name, even if we can't know what they look like, we can call on our healed ancestors to walk with us, to take our hands and to help guide us. And they anchor us into the earth in such a way that it's such a powerful feeling to connect with them in spirit. To really hear their drumming and to hear their voices and to hear their power. They knew this age was coming, all of them. They all have it in their texts, on their caves, in their everything. They knew that this transition was coming, this awakening, this, so many different words for it. And they prepared the earth as much as possible, and they prepared us as much as possible. So they are so proud of any one of us, of their children, who are awakening and who are connecting back to them and to our hearts and to Mother Earth. It's really powerful work. It's beautiful.
It is really amazing to see now that I would call it, I know you're in Australia too, but you know, the Western world embracing this kind of thinking as well in this shift of this new age that you've been describing. I mean, it is really profound and it's a global thing now. It's not just, you know, those people over there are still acknowledging ancestors, but we just don't do that over here. You know, everyone is starting to become enlivened to that, which is really, really cool. And the other thing you talk about in the book that I was very happy to see speaks kind of from this same place. My forthcoming book is going to be called The Goddess Discovered. And it's a world goddess encyclopedia, basically, that during the pandemic, like speaking of all the interesting things that came out of the pandemic, we're locked in a place. Guess what? We have plenty of time to write, as you know. And so this was something that a lot of my students really wanted. And so it became a very lengthy, several years long thing that's going to come out later in 2023, December, I think. And my premise in there really is similar, like what is enlivening us now at this age to awaken to the goddess, which you've so eloquently described earlier in this conversation. This idea of Mama Cacao has spoken to you. And this is really widespread as well. And it has occurred to me, I feel like this also, I mean, I would always, again, I used to think everything was just a past life influence if it wasn't something I was taught. But we all know, whether we want to realize this or not, our ancestors were very much alive to the teachings of the goddess and this idea of connecting with Mother Earth and this wild-hearted connectivity that we should be having with our planet. And I feel like this is being ignited from the ancestors in this time, and that's got to be one of the main reasons that our ancestors are calling us to this awakening within the goddess as well. And I was just wondering what you think of that. I mean, because you talk about the goddess in your book as well, which I love. And it's very cool. So,
oh, I'm excited to read all of your books now. I can't wait for this new book to come out. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's the longest thing I've ever tried to put together.
It sounds scary. Like a lot.
But I'm so fascinated by how many people are writing about the goddess. It's like we're all on this stream of consciousness together, you know, as you know, and it's happening at this time for a reason.
It is. It definitely is. And I really believe why the teachings of the goddess are coming through really strongly, whether or not we connect to it through Mother Earth, through Mother Cacao, it's more tangible than ever. And I feel that because Mother Earth is really awakening to her multidimensional self in a way that she never has before, I feel like all of the goddesses and masters and star beings that we used to think were a little bit out of reach, but we could, you know, we could bring Isis through with an anchor, we could bring through Kali, or we could sit down and chat with Yeshua, you know, but there was still a very thick veil around most of us in connecting with these, you know, representations of the goddess, representations of spirit, aspects of ourselves, spirit animals even. But now I find that all of this energy is woven into the earth. And I feel like because the earth is so multidimensional, all of the higher dimensions are here. So there's no more veil, because we can access everything that we need, and it's right in front of us. So the problem then with only meditating and only staying, I mean, okay, weather permitting, winter permitting, but if you're staying inside and you're meditating and you're connecting, that's only one level. And really, in order to embody that and to live from that grace and that wisdom and that, and her love with a capital L, we need to be outside. We need to be out there, and we need to be whatever it is that brings us joy, planting roses or hugging trees or going for walks or swimming in fresh water or spending time at the beach, whatever that calls to us outside, it's calling to us for a reason. And that's the goddess awakening us. She's directly accessing us through nature, through our body. So then we get to embody the wisdom, and then things start to make sense. And then things start to land in our lap. And then doors start to open. People come into our lives. The more we get in tune with nature and her seasons and her elements and her incredibly beautiful, wise, multidimensional beings. I mean, even the trees around here, I talk to them all the time. They hold so much wisdom, and it's all the goddess. And so she's coming through to us now for a reason. And she's coming through to us in a way that is more physically accessible than it is a concept like it used to. I mean, it was never just a concept, obviously, a lot of people have been embodying the goddess for many centuries,
right?
Thankfully, keeping that wisdom alive. But I think for many of us in our early spiritual endeavors, the concepts remained elusive, whereas now we can hold them in our hands.
Absolutely. So your book, again, friends, I highly recommend this. I have used this, yes, as an oracle. You need a message today? Wonderful. Let's just open one up. Alchemize the Clutter. I think that's my guide saying clean the office. I don't know. There's so much in here. I cannot even begin to describe it. Highly, highly recommended. So, Christus, if for a minute, you know, a lot of people are feeling very discouraged right now because maybe their world they perceive is crumbling around them. And you talk about that, like getting up and moving forward. What would you say to people? Because you have so many encouraging words, but what would you say to people who are in these big, big transitions right now?
I would say let yourself feel lost and don't ignore any of the pain or the denser emotions that are coming through. Really acknowledge them, but don't sit in them. Just acknowledge them and let them move, and then let the next emotion come through. And it could be bliss, and it could be joy, it could be sadness or grief. Keep letting them move through you and know that you're in the perfect place, because everything that's crumbling simply didn't have the foundation to last. So looking forward, building your foundations that are from the heart, that are in tune with the language of love, and that embrace community and connectivity with the earth, is going to be a more sustainable model, I believe, than anything else. But for now, just let yourself be lost. Surround yourself with people who love you no matter what. Let them lift you up. Let them love you. Let them cook you dinner. And be in all of this crumbling. Know that none of it is you and none of it is personal. But you have the power to move through it with love and to find and create that higher way for your life, for your family, for everything that you do. Yeah, you're not alone. I really want people to know that you're not alone. If you feel alone, if you've lost your job, if you're disconnected from family, if you can't travel, if you have health problems, you're not alone. You're not alone. And you can call on the goddess and you can go put your bare feet on the ground. There's some really simple things you can do to feel less alone and more loved.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. And there's so many suggestions in your beautiful book. So, Chris, I want to thank you for being on the show. And friends, we have done it again. I highly recommend Chris's book. I'm going to have the links below. So I want you to go get this and just realize, like she said, you're not alone. You know all the problems I've talked to you about. I mean, guess what? It's up and down, but it's always going to get better. And it's so interesting to see what's going to happen next, because I know Chris agrees we are living in extraordinary times right now. And it's going to get exciting. So let's be here and let's go for it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you for having me here on your beautiful show. That's been just such a fun and interesting conversation. I really loved connecting with you. And to all your listeners, thank you for being here. What a joy.
Thank you so much, Chris. Visit Chris online at chrisfranken.com. And friends, we've done it again, another episode of Healing Arts. So until next time, take care of yourself, and I'll see you next time on Healing Arts. Hey friends, would you like to heal your ancestors to heal your life? Well, you can do just that with my book by the same name that will teach you my genealogical regression process so that you can send love and light to your ancestors. And by learning a few simple techniques, you will begin to feel the benefits of that healing resonating through yourself and your entire family, past, present, and future. Check out my book, Heal Your Ancestors to Heal Your Life, The Transformative Power of Genealogical Regression, today. Just go to pastlifelady.com, click on the book link, and check it out. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Healing Arts with Dr. Shelley Kerr. Visit me online at pastlifelady.com or on YouTube at Past Life Lady, or connect with me on Facebook at Past Life Lady.